All right. Lights, action, coastal windage. It's Friday, December 10th, 2021. Dim the lights and roll the cameras. It's time for some coastal windage. And Livy, this is kind of a special film edition.
I know. You can't say coastal windage for
right?
me. Okay. I am ready to go.
Okay, so... Listeners, this is Ruben Truthmaker here with Livy Streetwise. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, your local talk radio show. It's live. It's 9:01 a.m. We're live on Main Street. Livy and I and Livy. I know you love film. I know you love red carpet and the lights and the limos and all that stuff. So that's
don't
why.
Don't tease me, Ruben.
Well, I'm not.
What are you leading up to?
You're looking
here?
At her right here, right here, right now, live in studio. We have a very special guest. Promoter. I'm calling her a promoter, but that's just, I got to put something there, right?
There are too many.
Like queen of the coast side or,
know.
You know, queen of all media. Like, I don't know. That's a little, it's a
that's
long,
a little
but.
Howard Stern.
Right, right.
We don't want to go there.
Julie Mell is in studio with us here today.
Yay.
Julie, good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Okay, so we have, this is Julie's second time as an interview guest on this show. We had her back, I think she was one of our first new normal interview guest.
Yeah, on
where,
the phone.
Yeah, during COVID, we couldn't have guests in the studio, so we interviewed her over the phone. But that's not enough.
Well, she might have preferred that today.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that...
she doesn't want to see our craziness.
I mean,
the interns have been a little skittish today.
The studio can be a bit intimidating with all the panels and the lights and the equipment and everything, but... That's why we have a phalanx of interns, and she was ushered from the green room to here, and she's here now. And she's going to talk about the Beach Break Entertainment Big Doings later
Can't
this
month.
Can't
wait to hear all about
okay.
it.
Okay. So we'll have Julie for that, and as well as our other topics, which let's just run through those real quick. Because we may not even get to them because we've got Julie here.
Lots of questions for Julie.
Right. Other topics today will be the rising cost of water. Yes. Remember in the old days you'd used to say something like, gosh, if gas was just as cheap as water or, you know, if we could just put gas and water in our cars instead of gas. Well,
when it used to rain regularly and we could depend on precipitation.
Rain? What?
Rain.
Who's that? Traffic delays on 92. What?
What?
I know,
shocking.
Right? Believe it, it happens, and it's happening all this month, okay? And the new normal. So we're back to the new normal. I mean, excuse me, we're back to Shooting the Breeze, which is our live in-studio interviews. We're kind of collapsing the two, so we're calling it the Shooting the Breeze New Normal live interview with promoter Julie Mell. Okay, Coastal Windage brought to you, as always, by Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. It's the weekend, so you know I'm lining, already thinking of what I'm going to be getting from the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company this weekend.
Yep.
treat yourself right. Go out to dinner tonight or tomorrow night, pretty much any night. They're open 7 nights a week, but the weekend's always a special time to go out. It's festive. The harbor's looking very festive. Everybody's got that feeling.
Yeah.
So go out to dinner to Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Really enjoy yourself. Treat yourself right. The Half Moon Bay Brewing Company
has a
great menu. Don't
they have a special kind of Christmassy holiday brew that they usually come up with?
Now, I'm not – I like beer-flavored beer, so I don't get into, like, the seasonal varieties and stuff, but – Yes, it's an actual brewery, so
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they do have some. I think they had some kind of pumpkin-y type, you know, Oktoberfest beer, right? So I'm
session.
Sure they have a eggnog beer. Is that a thing?
I hope not.
I know, right? My son and I were discussing eggnog, and it just seems pretty gross.
I'm not a fan, but there are lots of people in the other camp of that.
Okay,
they love it.
Good for them.
Yeah.
All right. If you would like to chime in on eggnog or anything else, or queue up a question for Julie Mell, give us a call, 650-560-9851. You can send us an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Now, here's an interesting thing. Right now, you can go to our Coastal Windage webpage. Finally, the interns, I gave them the weekend off from waxing my car and cleaning out my garage, and they were able to do some work on the KHMB website.
They did a good job.
Including our Coastal Windage webpage, and we now have a bunch of featured content up there, including We have a link to Beach Break Entertainment. We also have the event poster that Julie just brought in, which is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yes.
They're going to be posted up around town.
Posted around town. And we have a digital version of that up on our webpage. So the URL for the webpage, now this is a little kludgy. It's kind of long and complicated. So here's, the interns and I have already worked this out. All you have to do is open any web browser. We've tested it on a few different web browsers and platforms. Open up a web browser in the search window. Just type Coastal Windage. The very first link that comes up every single time is the link to our webpage. So
wow.
I could give the
well
long...
Well done, interns.
Right. I could give the long URL, but just type Coastal Windage in your search browser. Our page will come up, and we've updated it with all kinds of content that supports the topics on our shows. For example, as I mentioned, we have a link to Beach Break Entertainment and a link to the digital version of their event poster. We have pictures of public bathrooms around town. We've got the infamous Cunha Porta Potty. We've got some pictures of that, as well as I went out there again this week, the locked bathrooms at the train depot on Higgins Road. No explanation as to why those great bathrooms out there are locked yet again, but so there's pictures of that, those locked bathrooms. There's also links to County Coastside Water District mailers regarding the water shortage rate increases that we'll talk about later in the show, which are kind of confusing, so we put a link to those. And, okay, here we go. We've got also a link to the San Mateo County one-day homeless survey information. We talked about that last week. It's happening in January. If you're interested in helping out with the homeless situation, I highly recommend you participate in this homeless survey. This is to get a count of the amount of homeless people in the county so that services and programming can be developed for those folks. Okay, so, but I mentioned that we have a new feature, a recurring segment that we call Pick Your Poison. This is a list of either-or choices about things on the coastside. How would you answer these questions? These questions, the December list of Pick Your Poison is up on our webpage right now. So, listeners, if you'd like to go there, run through the list, and then call us at 650-560-9851 and give us your answers. Please feel free because, dun-da-da-dun, we're going to grill Julie Mel right now. She thought she was just coming in to promote.
She thought she was scot-free.
Oh, she's got to work. Okay, Julie.
Are welcome.
You got your hand on the buzzer there? Okay, all right.
Got it, I'm ready
okay.
to punch.
All right, here we go. Pick your poison, either or. Should we cut down all eucalyptus trees on the coast or keep them?
Cut them.
Cut them. All right. Ding dong ditch. You know what this is,
right? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is this a punishable offense or lighten up, Francis?
Oh, lighten up, Francis.
I agree.
Right. Okay, here we go. Tsunami warning siren, good to know or freaks you out?
If I ever heard it, it would probably
agree.
Freak me out.
I never hear them.
Okay, well, that kind of freaks me out then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't hear them, so I guess the next thing we'll hear is some waves rolling up on us. Devil's slide. Guardrail the whole thing or leave it like it is?
Leave it like it is and people just obey the signs.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
It's a long-running...
Wait a minute. You're not talking about the walking path. You're talking about...
The road itself.
The actual road.
Yeah.
Oh.
K-rail along the whole way, or...
Yeah, rail it.
Rail it, okay.
I agree. I have to say, yeah.
Okay.
You know where I stand.
Okay,
We've got a
story a little bit later that we may have to double back on that one. Okay. Short-term rentals, good for the economy or bad for the neighborhood? We didn't say it would be easy.
I think it's good for the economy, but bad for the neighborhood, to be honest.
Okay, so both?
I think that's really hard. Right,
see, these are...
They need to really scout
and check their
renters.
Right.
No parties.
Well,
right.
I think that's
right.
Why a lot of people... VRBO or short-term rental. Like
yeah.
They've got the families that just want a nice place with a kitchen and stuff, but then you also have... Like dudes weekends and stuff where, they're just looking
trouble.
For a party house. Yeah.
Trouble.
Okay. Dog poop. Okay to put in somebody else's garbage or not?
If it's garbage pickup day the next day, absolutely
I agree.
You can put it in the garbage.
Julie and I are very synced up. Yeah.
You know what? Yes. I had to get on Mrs. Truthmaker. The garbage came. The cans were empty. She took the dog for a walk. And, you know, being the good citizen that she was, picked up the poop. But then put the bag in the... in a bottom of our can. So I went to put in a bag of garbage and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So, but she acknowledged and went and scooped it out. So that was nice. Coastal Windage or This American Life or the Joe Rogan Experience? Which one would you listen to?
Oh, definitely Coastal Windage.
Oh, nice answer.
Yay.
Okay, here's that $100.
You're my Alice not Alice and Vinny, Sarah and Vinny.
Nice.
I saw that comment on Nextdoor and I much appreciated that one. Thank you. Highway 1, 2 lanes or 4?
Infrastructure is a problem.
So I'm hearing 4.
I think that we could have more passing lanes. Like, I don't think it has to be 4 the whole way. Like, I do think, you know, when you're driving south and you have the opportunity to pass.
It would
people.
Be nice.
It would be nice to get traffic a little bit.
However, leaving town or going north by Terrace, where it goes from 2 lanes down to 1, is always a clog.
It is.
At
it's
any time of
clog.
Day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I'm saying I do think that if you can get, you're not going at a clip at that point. You're going 10, 15 miles an hour just trying to eke onto 1 for the most part, right?
Right.
So if you, and there's the light. The light ruins everything.
Well, there's going to be a light at Terrace, too. So
I know.
So.
And, of course, we just put that one at the fire. I mean, it is... There's this string of lights that just holds everything up.
Above grade or below grade crossings. If the supervisors in Caltrans are listening, we've been trying for years. Okay, COVID booster shot, getting one or not?
Oh, not no question. Get one.
Get one, yep. I've got mine last week.
Me too.
Livy, good job. Pacifica, last question. Pacifica, and I think I know this answer because Beach Break Entertainment does business in Pacifica. Lots of business. Pacifica, part of the coastside or over the hill?
Oh, no. Part of the coastside for sure.
Right. Okay. Julie Mel, I wish we had
the Foley. She gets a blue ribbon.
Our Foley artist is on vacation, already took off for the Christmas break or the holiday break, so we don't have any fun, neat little morning zoo audio, the slide whistle or whatever. Okay. All right. I guess we'll get back to the show then. That was that was a fun interlude of playing with Julie.
Can we launch into it?
That was
all right. The county is having a gun buyback event. This is relatively pertinent because as I drove by Cunha School, I noticed that flags are still at half mast at the library, and that I believe is for the shooting in Michigan last week, right, where some high school students were killed. So on Saturday, tomorrow, a county wide gun buyback will take place in San Carlos, 1000 Skyway Road. It'll be from going from 10 to 2. It's hosted by the Citizens for a San Mateo County Gun Buyback and the Sheriff's Office.
They've been pretty successful in the past, I believe.
This is their fourth one.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is their fourth event. In the three previous buybacks, they collected a total of 1,254 firearms, including 53 assault weapons. So,
excellent.
In the amount of guns that are out there, that's probably not that much, but
it's better than
that's
nothing.
1,200 guns off the street, including 53 assault weapons. They pay $100 for handguns, shotguns, and rifles, $200 for assault weapons, no questions asked. They provide information on safe storage and other best practices, free trigger locks to anyone who requests them. Like I said, completely anonymous. So it seems like a good thing.
Yeah.
This is a landmine. I'm just going to step on it and then move quickly away.
Okay.
Okay.
Minus a leg.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well, that'll happen later when somebody calls in, 650-560-9851, which is, okay, we had the school shooting in Michigan. 15-year-old shooter using a gun purchased by his parents as a holiday present and given to him. 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse in Wisconsin. Parents knew that he had an AR-15, transported him to the scene of his incident. His mother drove him there with the gun. So she knew that it was happening. So I'm not, this is not about getting into the Second Amendment or whether or not U.S. citizens have the right to own weapons or not. However, I would just pose this question, okay? This is what we do on this show. This is an intellectual question to contemplate, not a dog whistle statement to get all amped up about folks listening who are about to call 650-560-9851. It's a think piece. That is, if parents of legal minors knowingly consent to their children possessing and or using firearms, then should they be required to carry some kind of gun insurance? So it's such that when their minor child has a problem with the weapon, that there's some, you know, safety net there. We require this of our minor children who drive vehicles, right? There's all kinds of requirements for that. What culpability do the parents have for their complicity in gun crimes committed by their children? This Kyle Rittenhouse's mom drove him with a long gun to a public protest. What did she think was going to happen? I mean, like, what? She's the adult here. What is her responsibility in this situation? Should parents have any responsibility? You know, like, I guess.
Did any charges come against his mom? I mean, I know he got off scot-free.
No charges against the that wasn't even considered. I believe there are charges being considered against the parents in the Oakland County shooting. So, again, I'm not trying to argue with anybody about whether, you know, where nobody's coming to take anybody's guns, but we're now in a situation where there's just the children are handling weapons. There's rules against children can't drink alcohol, children can't smoke cigarettes, children can't drive cars, but they can use weapons. So I think we need to ask ourselves, like, what is the responsibility of the parents for children that are using weapons? All right, we'll move on along that, see if we get any calls about that. Okay, here's what, doubling back to the Devil's Slide thing and bringing in film and Devil's Slide. So there were reports from folks on Nextdoor that Monday morning, traffic was slow and or stopped near the tunnel due to filming of a movie or TV commercial. So that's why I was asking, if we K-rail the entire Devil's Slide, isn't that going to take away from some of the visual attraction of that stretch that gets all the filming?
Okay, probably so. They do a lot of car commercials there.
Okay, so there was a question of, like, is this a movie? Three large big rigs, two luxury buses, and tons of support trucks and police cars. It was reported to be a Toyota commercial. Sometimes when they're doing a commercial in Devil's Slide, you'll see on Alhambra here, right by here, up the road. We're on Main Street, but I live in El Granada, so I feel like it's right there. On Alhambra, right by Coastside Hope, sometimes you'll see several car carrier big rigs lined up with when they're doing test driving, and you know that they're doing test driving of unreleased models because they'll usually have coverings over the sides of the car, so you can't see how the fairings are and everything. So they sometimes stage them there. I didn't see that on Monday. It was reported to be a Toyota commercial. Okay, questions for residents. We already asked one question, which is, if we K-rail the entire Devil's Slide, does that kind of take away from some of the, you know, filming attractiveness of it? All right. What kind of notification and consideration is there for the residents, especially since this is one of the two ways in and out, and it's a two-lane road, so when it's blocked off, like, what you going to do going north? People that need to get into San Francisco to go to work, or Daly City, or San Bruno,
well,
Pacifica.
I believe also it was they doubled down, too, because on that day they'd started work on 92.
Right.
So both of those, you know, access points were denied.
Yeah, so what is the notification and consideration for residents? What is the coordination against amongst the various jurisdictions? And then, who's getting paid for this? Okay, there's permits that have to be pulled for this. Somebody's getting some money for this filming. San Mateo County, Caltrans, somebody's getting paid for the use of this road. And somebody's paying the sheriffs and everybody who's got to provide traffic safety and control and everything. Where is that money going? Who's getting that money? If the county is getting paid because this is county property, then shouldn't some of the money go to a Midcoast Parks Fund or something like that for the coastside, for coastside where it's happening, coastside residents that are being impacted by this traffic? If the state or Caltrans is getting paid, shouldn't some of that money go to improvements in this district, which is Caltrans District 4, for things like safe crossings or above or below grade crossings or things like
100%.
That? 100%.
Okay. If we knew about them, maybe that would be a good first step.
Somebody's getting paid. These TV commercials and everything, they're paying somebody some money to do this. Who are they paying and where is that money going? Okay, because Julie, yes.
There's a listing online for permits, and I think that if it's in city jurisdiction, the money goes to the city,
right?
And otherwise, it goes to the county.
It goes to the county. Okay, so we're gonna have to take this up. I may have to take this up with the MCC or something, Midcoast Community Council. When the coast side specifically. Mm-hmm. Because the rest of the county isn't being bothered when Devil Slide is shut down for a filming of a commercial production where people are making money. What do we get out of it?
Yeah.
What do we get out of it? Except maybe we get in that Toyota commercial. Oh, look, there's the tunnel. There's 1 second of the tunnel. Wow. That makes up for the 2 hours I was in traffic.
I was thinking that a terrific... maybe punishment would be the head of Caltrans, whenever they decide to do work on 92, say, that's terrific. We have rented you a VRBO for the amount of time that project will be going on, and we are going to require you to come into work in San Mateo every single day, and then you figure out what times work.
Okay, I like that. You know what? We're going to depart from our usual pattern here and skip ahead to a topic in the show because I like your suggestion. Traffic delays on 92. This is one of our topics for this. This is like a major topic because we're talking about, on that Monday, past Monday, when Devil's Slide was shut down for a couple of hours, for some reason on that day, Caltrans decided to start a big tree cutting project on 92, and it was down to one lane of traffic and traffic control, meaning that both ways in and out of the coast side shut down on Monday.
Yeah.
With really no notification.
Well, it was more than tree cutting.
Oh, right. Okay. So what is happening is PG&E is closing a section of Highway 9. Heads up. Because this is going on for a while. Okay. Started on Monday. This is where your idea of Caltrans District 4 director, guess what? Yeah, we'll rent you a little place.
Move on over here.
Yeah, in Moss Beach, and you can drive to the office over 92 every day because from now until December 22nd, PG&E is upgrading its high-pressure regulators to reduce pressure from transmission lines to distribution lines. Okay, that's a good thing, but one-way traffic control will be in place from 9 to 3, Monday through Friday, at three different locations along 92. So it's not like you just get through the one, interruption or
7
stoppage.
7 a.m. to 5 p.m., by the way.
I've seen different times. I was able to roll through. We had a basketball game over the hill on Tuesday, I think it was. Didn't know anything about this. Hadn't been paying attention, and so just blind. Mm-hmm. No traffic. And so then when I got on Nextdoor later that evening and I saw all these posts about people being stuck in traffic, I was shocked because I had rolled through there like 4:30 and it was fine. So there's conflicting information.
But the thing of it is it's not as much conflicting as they're covering their behinds in that window of 7 to 5, and they start when they feel like it and they end when they feel like it. So, yeah, you got lucky, and I got lucky once. And then not so much the other three times I've had to roll in. Because I had to head over, at 8:30 yesterday. Nothing going on. And then I came back at 12:30. I was held up maybe for, I'll say, 10 minutes. But it wasn't anything huge. So I think I just got lucky. I don't think you can say, okay, at 12:30 every day, it's easy breezy.
This is a question for Coast Guard. Is that better or worse that sometimes you're going to get stuck and sometimes you're not? Because, for example, driving over the hill for games, let's say a Cunha game at Ravenswood or Ralston or something might start at 5 o'clock or 4:30 even. Kids get out at 3 o'clock. You got to get over the hill to Palo Alto or wherever you're going, And this is always a thing of like, okay, how much time do I allot? Because sometimes if you were just driving straight there to, let's say, Green Middle School in Palo Alto, it's really only two turns, Page Mill to Middlefield to California. You're there. You could make it there maybe 35 minutes.
On a great day.
Right. An ideal.
That's another issue, Julie.
In ideal circumstances. But, you know, you factor, I better give like an hour and just to be safe because it's a game and we don't want people to be late and you just never know what's going to happen. Let me give an hour and 15. And that's, of course, the day when it's 35 minutes and you're there 45 minutes early. But you can't take the chance of, you know, allotting just the amount of time it should take because then you're going to run into traffic that one day with no notification. So that's
an hour and a half wait on one of those days.
So this is one of the things that people are complaining about is it just doesn't seem like the notification system, it works very well. Both Caltrans and the county have, you know, these alert notifications that you can sign up for that seem very sporadic. Occasionally people will get them, not all the time.
But the week of Christmas? Come on. I mean, that is absolutely ludicrous. And the thing of it is, if we had anyone who had power over at Caltrans living over here, that stuff wouldn't happen. There is no way they would be there at 2 a.m. when no one else, they could actually be doing it and not affecting all this traffic.
I actually have some information on why this isn't being done at night. Why is this not being done at night? Okay. Although I will say that at least they're getting their... There we go. At least they're getting their window done before December 28th to 30th, right?
I guess.
Or 26th to 28th. I forget the dates. Well, we'll find that out from Julie in just a second. Okay, we've got a caller. This is Ruben and Libby and Julie Mel. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
It's Michelle Dragony.
Oh.
Hello.
The Coastal Butterfly. What's up, Michelle?
Well, on my website, I put up the California Highway SR-92 Caltrans lane closure schedule. There's a link to the actual schedule at the Caltrans website. Lena Silberman, who's the legislative aide for Supervisor Horsley, was at the MCC meeting on Wednesday evening, and she dropped this link into the chat, and it's the best information source that we all got. So pass it around. I should probably put it up on Nextdoor as well.
So coastsidebuzz.com, one of the top three media sources on the coast side. Put that in your, your favorites list?
Bookmark.
Bookmark, thank you. Bookmark that, please. See, I forgot because it's just, like every browser I have open has like two or three tabs with Coastside Buzz open. Because I just like, I just open a new tab every time I look at a new article for some. I've got a million Coastside Buzz tabs open. Anyways.
Thank you, Michelle.
Coastsidebuzz.com. Michelle Dragony always has the great information with links to source documents and video of these meetings. So this isn't hearsay. This isn't editorial. This is Michelle providing us with the primary source information. Right, Michelle?
Oh, very good. Very good, Ruben. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that. And go to coastsidebuzz.com and check out the formal and official schedule from Caltrans on this work.
The review said it was from 7 to 5, and the city said it was from 9 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what Caltrans told them in a, you know, an official email. They don't apparently look to their own website. So there actually are, there's going to be night work. Last night there was night work, and there should be no work on Saturday and Sunday, but then there'll be night work on Sunday. Monday, there's going to be three closures. So have a look at the times and the locations where those closures are, all on 92.
All right. Thank you for the update.
Sorry to be glum here, but thanks, Michelle.
All right.
So Monday, don't drive over the hill on Monday. That's what it sounds like. Okay, but what Michelle is describing is what annoys people. Can we get one press release or something that has the same information so that everybody's on the same page? Because with regard to the night thing, I believe it was in the Half Moon Bay Review that the Half Moon Bay city engineer said that they didn't receive notice of the work from PG&E until it had already begun on Monday. So PG&E didn't even decide to tell City of Half Moon Bay. And then that Caltrans is saying they can't do it at night because the work requires crews to simultaneously use Caltrans right-of-way and be in customers' yards. So for some reason, that means they can't do it at night. I don't. But now we're hearing from Michelle that they can do it at night.
I don't know.
So,
it just gets me angry.
Again, we've got two roads in and out. It's not like there's a bunch of alternate routes we can take. And we can't get a straight story on, like, what is happening? When is it happening? How can we avoid this? Go through 92, go through Highway 1. Oh, sorry, we can't go through the tunnel because it's closed for a commercial.
Yeah.
That would have been nice to know.
Yeah, good
to know. So, anyways, all right.
All right.
I guess, let's
see. Can we start with the drum roll? Can we?
9:33. Okay, it's 9:33 in the Coastal Windage Studios here. Julie Mel's still here. She is enjoying.
She hasn't run yet.
No, she's enjoying a Frappuccino and a gift basket.
Well, I will tell you that I just a quick story. When she walked into the studio and I presented her with a bottle of water, she politely declined. And best. I don't know if you want to say it, Julie, or I do, but it just made me feel wonderful and terrible at the same time that I'd offered it. But at any rate.
Well, it was nice of your interns to bring it in for me. I appreciated that, but I brought my own refillable metal water bottle. And I did so because back in October of 2020, when we presented Monsters, Inc., the organization, the nonprofit organization Sea Hugger, was my partner, and Shell Cleave told me that after we had worked for about a few weeks to organize the event, she said, "Oh, you're selling concessions. Well, if you're selling plastic water bottles, then I can't participate." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I don't have to do that. We'll bring in a big a cooler and paper cups, and we'll be happy to give water for free." And I gave up. I promised at that point to be an ambassador for Sea Hugger and gave up buying and purchasing and utilizing or using accepting.
Well done.
Plastic water
Wonderful.
Bottles.
Yep. Well, and it certainly motivates me to do so as well. And of course, we support Sea Hugger, and Shell Cleave has been on the show
multiple times.
Yeah, multiple
at least
times.
Three times she's been a guest host.
That's the least we could do. And so interns failed again.
Yes.
I don't know. We're going to have a talking to.
I missed that whole thing because when Julie came in with her entourage, I ran up to give her a hug. And, like, the first three people in the entourage were security. And I was, you didn't see me, like, face down on the floor. Like, yeah, well, you guys were like, oh, hi.
You were a groupie.
I was being, you know, frisked, basically.
You're a Julie Mel groupie.
Yeah, well, yes, I am.
I kind of am, too. But I know my boundaries. Reuben.
I just thought it was, you know, hangers on. I didn't realize it was the security detail. All right, let's get a couple of quick emails. We're jumping around the show today because I want to make sure that we have plenty of time at the end of the show because Julie's got a lot to talk about, and this is an important event for the Coastside and really a big undertaking. And so we want to give Julie all the time that she needs for that. Okay, so real quick, a couple of snarky emails. I had a chance to preview them. I feel like I need to start I mean, we've given the interns this job, but it seems like they're always like the same kind of emails of, like, you know, kind of poking at me. Which, all right. I mean, here's two more. So the Brick Pig writes about homeless survey. Like, okay, what, you know, like, really? I know where you can find many homeless people for your survey, 230 Cabrillo Highway, also known as the Coastside Inn. Start there. Don't appreciate, this is me now, I don't really appreciate that email. I don't know if the person's trying to be serious or a troll or ironic or funny, but, one, if people are living at the Coastside Inn, then they're not homeless, and that's pretty much the whole point of having a homeless shelter here on the Coastside. Again, I'm not sure if this email is serious or not, but I understand that homelessness can make some people feel uncomfortable. But if you want to do something about it, there's things that you can do, and the homeless survey is one of the things that you can do. So go to our website. There's a link to the county's homeless survey webpage where you could sign up or learn more information about it to help the county get a count of the homeless folks in our area and provide services for them. Okay, here's an email from listener John regarding potty talk. We were talking about public restrooms last week. John, if that's your real name, writes, great use of your airtime. Please, please do list out all the public restrooms within the broadcast range of this radio program, because whenever I listen to it, I have a strong urge to release my bowels.
Oh.
Tip of the cap to you, John. All right. Well, public
that had to be covered. We had to read that.
This person right here, this intern right here, right? This one right here. Okay. I see the crooked grin on her face.
Yeah.
You know that she picked that one out.
Okay.
She may have written that one. Now I'm going to have to.
Goodness.
I'm going to have to do some IP research.
Okay.
That. Okay. So public restrooms may not be the sexiest topic, but guess what? Every human who's ever lived has had to evacuate waste from their system. So it seems to me like public restrooms are kind of a critical infrastructure. People need to go to the bathroom. We're a tourist-based economy. Where are the tourists going to the bathroom? You know?
You know, for my very first show, I'm just going to interject with this.
Yeah.
The county made me rent 5 porta-potties.
Mm.
And I was... They're expensive.
They are expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
But we had them for that event. I don't understand why we don't have them at the beach.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I loved your comments last week or 2 weeks ago about the portables needed at the jetty.
Yes. 100%.
Five porta potties you have to get for your event.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's, you know.
And we have thousands of people visiting every weekend.
Daily or even daily sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a bathroom down at, what is that, Capistrano Road in Miramar, right? At the end of the bike path there by the Miramar Beach Restaurant. And then there's the ones that have been shut down at the RV park at Surfers Beach. So then the next ones are up at the harbor. Really, you think people are walking all that distance to go to the bathroom, or are they just going to the bathroom right there?
I know.
They're going to the bathroom right there, so... Yeah, right. You have to get 5 porta potties, but we can't do anything at Surfers Beach.
I did appreciate having them, and I think our guests did as well.
Definitely,
yeah, thank
they
you.
Made it much
and
easier.
We had cleaners at the time for COVID, so every time they were
you
used,
just
they
cover
were cleaned. In
everything.
Between.
Every time I go to one of your events, everything has been thought of. And you and I were talking so. Can we launch into Julie?
Yeah, you know what?
I have a number of...
Let me close this, and then I'm going to kick... We'll go to the third week now, because you know what? Yeah, I'm all excited about this. I want to talk to Julie about her project. We're going to kick the rising cost of water to the next...
Got it.
To next week, and I promise people that have been all queued up, waiting to harangue about the confusing water mailer from CCWD... we will get to that next week. We will dedicate a lot of time to it, but you know what? We have Julie here
They'd
now.
Much prefer
Let's
hearing from
get
Julie.
To it now. Okay, Julie Mell.
Hello, again.
In addition to the fantastic saving of us during COVID with bringing movies to the coast side with drive-in movies, both in Half Moon Bay and Pacifica, now you've gone to the next level, which is you're going to have... we're calling it a film festival. Tell me, is it a film festival with judging, or is it a screening of some excellent films that have local connections?
Thank you for asking. It was originally meant to be a festival with submissions, and I have a group of about 10 on my selection committee, but we got very few submissions. And
what?
You look perplexed.
Yes. How can this be?
You know, there are, believe it or not, thousands of festivals, film festivals now. Hmm. It was shocking to me to go on. I went on a site where you request submissions. It's kind of the filmmakers. All filmmakers know about the site, and they submit their films to any and everything they can. And you know, we were late in the game. We're this was a kind of a last minute. You usually get about 6 months or four to six months to review films, and we gave it a month.
Well, one of the reasons I'm shocked, one of the reasons I've got the look of like, huh?
Yeah.
Is, I mean, the movies that you are going to be screening look amazing.
They're
so
great.
If there were so few, I mean, what are the odds that so few movies to choose from and you score these great movies?
So that we ended up going and selecting films ourselves so we could have a great show. I mean, these are films that were either mentioned to me 8 to 10 months ago when I first started doing drive-ins. And they were sent to me with screeners, and I said, you know, this is great. I really want to watch this. However, you know, it's just not the kind of film we can show right now. We were looking more for mainstream films to entertain the masses, families, really. And so I went back to them, and I watched these films, and I was blown away. I had received one of them, Los Hermanos, The Brothers. It's an Oscar contender. It's really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're getting the filmmakers here to Q&A afterwards.
So. Fantastic.
Okay, so let's set this
down
up for people so they know. So this is, I'm going to call it a film festival.
Yeah,
okay, I'm calling it a film festival.
Yes. Great,
it
thank you.
It is a festival of films, and we're showing, it's all independent films.
Fantastic. Yeah. This is going to occur here in Half Moon Bay. Julie was mentioning that there's all these film festivals, but guess what? There's only one here on the coast side, and this is going to be huge going forward in the future because people love to come here, and because Julie Mel is putting it on, it's going to rock.
And I don't know if you know this, Julie, but everyone who we've had come into the studio for an in-depth interview has shot into the stratosphere after the interview.
Yep.
Like, we've never seen them again, actually.
Right.
I mean, they've just, like, just gone above and beyond, and, you know, we just see them on the news and the papers.
Yep, you are officially golden now. So here in Half Moon Bay, December 28th, 29th, 28th and 30th, right?
29th and 30th,
right. Uh-huh. December 28th through 30th, here in Half Moon Bay, going to be screening these six films at the Coastal Repertory.
Five films and one short.
At the Coastal Repertory Theater, which I personally love going there. Going to be seeing Santaland Diaries there next Friday.
Oh, fun.
I can't wait to see that.
That's a great partnership.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Perfect because it has the feel of, it's like the only real like theater type feeling place that we have here on the coast side.
It is, and they're really excited.
I'm sure they would be.
They have some great equipment.
Okay, so here's the films that we're going to have. I'm just going to list them, and then maybe if you want to like go back and chat about each one, or if there's one that you really... So Los Hermanos, the Comedy Club. I'm really interested in that. I've been to Cobb's Comedy Club a few times, seen some performers there, and so like really am interested in seeing the archival footage and everything. That looks really cool. Life on Wheels, Girls Can't Surf. I think we mentioned that earlier in the show. Knocking Down Fences, again, in the same kind of theme there. And Rita Moreno, just a girl who decided to go for it. Okay.
That is so well timed with West Side Story.
I know. And she is a kick.
Is she 90?
She is 89.
Okay. Yeah.
She looks like she's about 60.
She does. You know. She is going strong.
I know. And she acts like it too.
She does.
She is full of zest.
Okay. Yeah. So in addition to screening these movies, I was looking at your website, Beach Break Entertainment. GoCheck.com. Go check that out. Gives descriptions of all these movies. It looks like in addition to the movies, there's going to be kind of special events like after each screening with either the directors of some of these movies will be there, special guests. Can you talk to me about some of the events that are going to be happening around the screenings?
I would love to. And that's what makes it, in my eyes, a festival, is that we're not just showing movies. We're showing movies that are thought-provoking and timely and or just genuinely well-made, fun films. And after each film, we will have Q&As or panel discussions with either the directors, the producers, or people related to that topic. For instance, after The Girls Can't Surf, we're going to have Elizabeth Cresson, who was featured on the front page of the Half Moon Bay Review in an article by August Howell. She runs the Maverick Surf Contest going forward. And in that article, she actually quoted that she's interested in having more women surf and equal pay. And that is what Girls Can't Surf and Knocking Down the Fences focuses on. If I can, I met Laura Palmer-Lohan, who is running... Palmer-Lohan, who is running for Don Horsley's seat. I met her at a brunch the other day, and she sent... one of her focuses is equal pay. So she sent me a quote, and she said, attending the Beach Break Entertainment Festival is a great opportunity to be awed, moved, and motivated. The films Girls Can't Surf and Knocking Down the Fences is featured on December 29th, and each reminds us that pay equity is also recognition equity. So
that's
that was
a wonderful
really nice.
Quote. That's yeah. great that you got to meet up with her.
Yeah, that was nice. She can't join us for the panel, but we're going to have Ashley Gray, he's on the Surfrider Foundation board with Elizabeth, and then Meg Schutzer, who is the director of the short Knocking Down the Fences, as well as a Half Moon Bay High School alum who's a big surfer and on the circuit, Kyra Wallace.
Terrific.
Which is really exciting.
That's
yeah.
a terrific panel.
So that's the big panel.
And let me clarify, you've done this all in a month?
Is it?
Wow.
I think we
impressive.
Talked, Libby.
Yes, we
talked,
did.
And we both, revealed that we're night owls. Well,
yes,
I'm
that is the truth.
A night owl working on very yes. little sleep.
Well, you are clearly productive in your hours.
I'm
me, not so much.
Excited.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have, you mentioned traffic. And so I do want to give a plug to Life on Wheels, which is made by a husband-wife filmmaker team who live in Miramar. In fact, they started this project after their house got struck by a car on Marauda
Avenue. Oh, my gosh,
Avenue.
I know exactly who you're
oh, yeah.
talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yes. I know the
so
house,
they're,
too.
They're actually really good friends of ours, and they were so dumbstruck by that whole thing, and they live half their lives in Sweden, and they just kept looking at this world and going, how come the U.S. is so dependent and married to their cars? Mm-hmm. And Sweden, we don't. We walk everywhere, and we have transportation to get everywhere, and so that Life on Wheels is a really interesting documentary about our dependency on cars and what we can do about it. Not just that, but also taking back our streets for outdoor dining.
Maybe. That's timely.
Yeah. I mean, their film came out just before 2020, March of 2020, and. It just seemed like, wow, they were so on it. But I think
yeah.
it hasn't taken that long. And I feel like we're sort of forgetting already
that
yes. we love the outdoors and we appreciated the outdoors and all this opportunity yeah. to be outdoors as opposed to inside and in our cars. And
how quickly people go back to,
yeah, right?
you know, I mean, and how we forget. It's
it feels a little ironic that yeah. my business started from drive-ins, which is eating cars. But now we're focusing and trying to transition solely to being outdoors under the stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not in your cars.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Or in your cars. People like the drive-ins.
I come back to being impressed with the the conceptualization of this film festival, the movies that you've brought together that have relevance to the coastside. So, yeah, I I'm still kind of pinging around in my head that there's all these film festivals out there. You know, we hear about the big ones, right, like Sundance and Telluride and a couple of these other ones that probably started out small. But when I hear there's thousands of other ones, I'm thinking of like, yeah, you know, the frat house is throwing together like, you know, three American Pie movies in a film festival to raise money for their, you know, trip to Vegas next month or something. Like, to me, that's not a film festival, you know, like this is a film festival when I think of, you know, the word film as opposed to movies. Okay, now we're talking at like a different level, and these are consequential films that really apply to our lives here on the coast side and really something things to think about.
Yeah, meaningful
equity in life. What our transportation strategy is going forward in the future. Immigration, I think, is possibly another topic in here, maybe in Los Hermanos. Am I?
Yes.
Yeah, are we getting that one right? Right. So, what's your vision of where this will go in the future? Is this, in your mind, are you like, you know what, Ruben, like right now I'm just trying to get this thing happening this year, like I'll worry about next year? Or do you have a vision of like, is this the new Sundance? Like in 10 years, like is this where... Okay, well, yes.
I'll never claim to be Robert Redford, although I met him once. But I would love to see this grow. I think that Half Moon Bay is as charming, if not more so, because it's a lot warmer as Park City. And I think that... we have the resources, we have the hotels, we have the high-end restaurants, we have great shopping on Main Street and in Princeton Harbor, and I just feel like we have potential to make this go, and I do hope that this is not a one-off, and if I have it my way, it's not going to be.
Yay!
It would help to have more support from the community. We do have the Surf Rider Foundation.
Well, let's talk about that. Okay, so who's funding this? Where? How are you financing this?
Your interns are looking at it. Yeah,
they're out there on the street with buckets right now, asking for money.
Yeah,
self-funded.
I have
self-funded.
Surf Rider Foundation has offered to help. Sponsor in part Girls Can't Surf, and I have a couple people committed to doing ads, but other than that, no, it's
so you are looking for more sponsors.
I am.
Okay, and so we're putting an official call out to sponsors, and if anyone is interested in that, how best to reach out to you? To go to your site?
They can email me at julie@beachbreakentertainment.com or call me.
Okay.
650.
Don't put that out there.
Please call. I'll reply to you right away. You know, any funding's great. And I'd love the support of, you know, sponsor partners. I really would. I think it's more fun. It's going to be a great event.
Have you been able to talk to any of the stores downtown? Like, are we looking to connect the entire downtown to these 3 days and maybe pair up some events? Like, I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go along, but like the Wine and Cheese, like, could people stroll down Main Street from, you know, the rep after seeing a movie?
One of the things I love about what you did with the drive-in movie thing is when you would get your drive-in movie tickets, you would give a little booklet that had other coupons for other merchants in town.
Yeah, you thought
of
everything.
It seems like a basic idea, and yet it's not happening enough. And so, like, Julie's doing it, and I would hope that it would happen, that we could get something going like that with the film festival.
Yeah.
Which is this cross-pollination of, like, okay, so Julie's a promoter trying to do the film festival, but there's all these other, like, potential stakeholders here in town and even in the region. I mean, that's what I'm thinking about with this film festival. Like, yeah, it's coastside-based, but it's also the region. I mean, these are topics that are universal themes, okay? And so let's get that cross-pollination going. Merchants, folks who want to be involved. There's going to be people coming, I'm going to say, from all over the country.
Put it out there, Ruben.
Probably,
what are you saying?
We've got filmmakers from Sweden, so we can say from all over
the world.
Okay, are going to be coming here for this film festival.
Yeah.
Merchants in town, this is your chance. Get
totally.
In on this.
I know. And speaking of, I added, just for you, Ruben, Half Moon Bay to my logo for my mugs.
Whoa!
Oh,
don't
hello.
Your chair, Ruben.
Yes, thank you.
I heard you, and I was listening.
Excellent.
And I thought that was actually brilliant. And it's true. Actually, we have some big names coming for a couple of the movies.
I'm afraid
to say it in case something falls through, but. The producer, I'll just put this out there, the producer of the Comedy Club, the movie, which is based on, like you said, Cobb's Comedy Club.
Yep, in
where
San Francisco.
Many,
yep.
many comedians got their start or and have cameos in the movie. Dana Carvey and Bob Goldthwait and Will Durst, who is a local, but... And Robin Williams, of course.
Yeah. You know what? And it's so sad that he's gone, because I bet you he would have been here.
Yeah.
You know, I bet you he would have been. And I also, hearing that, would like to put a shout out to the local hotels even.
Yes.
Because it would be wonderful if you could put these folks up at your hotel free of charge, you know, for these festivals, because it's only going to bring you business, right? You business as the,
that's the synergy we're talking about.
Yes, like, exactly.
Okay, we've got some you know, world-class resorts here on the, at least two here right on the coast side, right? The Ritz and the Oceano, like.
And a number of really nice ones in between.
Don't those enterprises want to get in on this and provide, you know, rooms or suites for the directors people involved with the film, so that when they come here, they go back to wherever, you know, to their circles and are like, oh man, next year at the Beach Break Entertainment Film Festival in Half Moon Bay, you got to go there.
Yeah.
You know, forget Sundance and Malibu. Like, you got to get to Half Moon Bay for a beach break.
Yeah.
Just in case he's listening, Cameron Palmer's meeting with me right after this, because he has two rooms above his restaurant.
Terrific.
I think he said three.
Terrific. Well, that's wonderful.
I know.
And he's always been so supportive of the community,
right.
You know?
If anyone's going to help get this going in terms of, like, the merchants and the synergy there, definitely Cameron.
But let's have some other folks jump on in. I mean, let's make us all successful, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be... I get a little frustrated when we have a wonderful local putting on this amazing film festival and people just aren't throwing their hats into the ring. How can I help? How can I help?
Totally.
Because I know I'm going to pretty much be gum on the bottom of your shoe, Julie. You're not going to be able to
get rid of me. I'll
help with anything.
She's got a red carpet in the trunk of her car that she just rolls out when she walks into the studio here. I mean, it's a little embarrassing that she rolls.
Something.
Well, if you would just text me, I'd get the interns out there and they could run out, like kind of like at the NASCAR when they change the tires in the pit. You know, okay, Libby's here. Bing, bing, bing. Libby's here. Run out with the red carpet. We could have done that for Julie this morning, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
do you have red carpet? Do you have
I do, and I just ordered a step and repeat. So
nice.
I don't plan on this going anywhere anytime soon.
That's fantastic.
But there are great... Oh, we have to go.
No, keep talking.
Great people who have supported me in the past, and I just want to give a shout-out to them that I am very grateful for all their past support, the realtors especially.
Anybody? Wonderful. Yeah. Do you want to mention any names in particular? I mean, that's fine.
I mean, David Oliphant, Kristen Hagen, Stephanie Sills, and Nate Surdy. I'm very grateful for their
support. Well done, folks.
Nate and his mom sold us our house that we live in.
Right now. Rose. Nice.
Yeah, Rose has been around in my life for a long time.
Oh, nice.
That's what we love about, I mean, this is our community, right? Yeah. Like, we all live here. We, like, know the same people. A real, you know, Julie's, you know, partners here in her thing sold us our house and this type of thing. Like, that's what I love about this. Julie, thank you so much for coming in.
Are there any last-minute details we didn't ask you about that we'd like to want to say the dates again?
Yeah, December 28th through 30th. We have 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock showings, and then the last movie on the 30th. Closing night is going to be a great big fun event catered by Event Savvy, and there will be drinks, liquid to lips being served by Half Moon Bay Distillery.
Wonderful. Nice. And are the tickets available on your website?
The tickets are available online. Yeah, okay. They are up and live now. And thank you both so much. This was so much fun.
Beachbreakentertainment.com. Beachbreakentertainment.com to get tickets. December 28th, 29th. 30th Coastal
so
Repertory
exciting.
Theater.
I can't wait to go see all the films, and it's going to be a wonderful event.
Thank you. It'll be wonderful.
Great that it's happening around the holidays too, when people have the time off and they're looking to do fun festive things, and we're trying to come back from a year in hibernation.
Yeah,
it's just I'm already just like brimming with energy about this, and I know that Julie is as well, and thank goodness she is, because it takes a lot of energy to put this on. It's going to be great, Julie.
Thank you
for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much.
Really great talking to you.
Treat.
Thanks for sitting in the
whole
show.
Happy holidays.
And playing Pick Your Poison. Really appreciate that. We'll be back next time. This is Ruben and Libby here with Julie Mell. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m., as always, right here on KHMB, your community radio station. I didn't even give the call numbers. 100.9 FM's Rockin' 1710 AM, KHMBRadio.com. Tune it in on your dial. Listen all week long. Talk to you next Friday.